Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Hebrews. I will be reading chapter 12, verse 28, right through chapter 13, verses 1 to 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, till Hebrews 13, 1 to 6. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them. And those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexual immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is the word of God. Let us pray as we receive God's word and his message. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, as we come to this final sermon on the book of Hebrews, indeed, Lord, may your word speak to our hearts, that our lives may offer to you acceptable worship. So, Holy Spirit, stir our hearts and mind to listen to you and to apply your word. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, in one of the Holy Week Convention sermons, I trust that you have listened to them. The Dr. Simon Chan, he highlighted that we are living in abnormal times. We are living under abnormal time. The pandemic has severely disrupted our normal lifestyle. But some people are talking about a new normal after the pandemic. However, Dr. Chan calls us to reflect, is there such a thing as a new normal? He explained that the world that we live in is already an abnormal world, and the pandemic makes us deeply aware of its abnormality. Jesus did not come to turn the world upside down. We are the ones that are out of sync with the kingdom of God. And if we live in a world that is upside down, then the one person who lives right side up is Jesus. We are upside down, and he is right side up. You know, our series in the book of Hebrews have shown us repeatedly how Jesus is the right high priest and sacrifice for us. He is far superior than any person or any means to God. His sacrifice is once for all. And that means there is no longer a need for any rituals, any ceremony, any priest to bring us before God. And because of what Jesus has done on Good Friday, you and I have the confidence, we've been authorized to come freely into the presence of God, into the holy place. And that's a wonderful, wonderful privilege that God has given us. Because of what Jesus has done, he now accepts us into his presence. Now, if we let the magnitude of the Father's love and the Son's sacrifice sink into our minds and deep down in our hearts, then this calls for a response. The grateful heart will want to make an offering at the great sacrifice that our Lord Jesus has done for us. And for a start, we will want to follow the right side up Lord and live the right side up life. And we've been hearing for the past few weeks what this response looked like. And last week we hear that one of these is to live by faith, the living by faith. And in our passage today, it calls for a response of worship. If you look at chapter 12, verse 28, the author exhorts us to do this. Let us offer to God acceptable worship. And we will see later in chapter 13 that this acceptable worship, that the offering that God is looking for, includes to love one another, show hospitality to the stranger, maintain sexual purity, and not love money. Now, in many ways, this is a call to live right side up in an upside down world. They are counterculture in the society that we live in. Our minds are more preoccupied with ourselves than to help or to love the other person. In our modern day society, staying true and faithful in the marriage or sex within the marriage seems to be more and more a thing of the past. Adultery can go unpunished as unreasonable behavior. And our alternate lifestyle seems to gain more and more acceptance and termed as the new normal. And in some circles, the love for money is a virtue rather than a vice. The world reasons that Christians are living in a museum. Christian living is a museum. It is ancient, it is irrelevant to the modern life. Before we look at what this acceptable worship God is looking for, perhaps the question we have to ask is why? Why should Christian love? Why should we offer this acceptable worship? Why should we maintain sexual purity? Why should we keep ourselves from the love of money? Now, the reason for offering this heartfelt response of worship to the Lord is because of a powerful reminder that the biblical author tells us again at the close of chapter 12. If you look at verse 28 again, it says this: therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, the church then and us is summoned to be thankful and to be grateful. Now, what are we to be grateful of? What are we to give thanks for? And the verse tells us in verse 28, it is because we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, what does this phrase mean? Now, there are a couple of references in the Old Testament that tells of the time where God will shake the heaven and the earth. So some examples is, for example, in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 13, where God says, I will make the heavens tremble and the earth will be shaken. And then in the book of Haggai, in chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord says, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And then again in the book of Haggai, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now, when we read of God shaking the heavens and the earth, it is not something to look forward to. It is frightening because this means that there will come a time that God is going to judge the world. And it is a terrifying time. At the end of the ages, when Christ returns, the kingdoms of this world, the people who are against God, they will be judged and destroyed. So that is what it means to shake the heavens and the earth. It is a telling of God's judgment. And to those who trust in the worldly values, the power and possessions of this world will be utterly disappointed. Not only they will not last, they will be judged. And the only kingdom that will be unshakable and will last forever is the kingdom of God. And so the wonderful promise that chapter 11, verse 28 tells is that we have received this kingdom, not the shakable one, but the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, what this implies is that we have passed from judgment to grace. We have received this kingdom, as what the author has tells us. And how is that possible? Well, the repeated message in the book of Hebrews tells us that this was made possible when Jesus became our high priest and sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, because of what Jesus has done, we are no longer a sinful people waiting to be judged by a holy God. We are citizens of God's eternal kingdom. We have received this kingdom. We have a new citizenship. We are the covenant people of God, the new covenant people of God. And we have been bestowed with this incredible hope that is in Christ Jesus. And what awaits us is not judgment, but a reception into God's unshakable kingdom. So if we understand what we have received, then having received this grace, it calls for a response. And in verse 28, it tells us, let us be grateful. You have received something so precious, eternal, beyond life here on earth. And this gratefulness is expressed in an offering. What is this offering that God is looking for? What is this acceptable worship that God looks for? Now, when we think of worship, perhaps our minds are drawn to the worship service, the songs we sing, the prayers we make, the financial offering that we make, the listening of the sermon. Those are part of the corporate worship. But the worship that this passage is talking about and what God desires is the way we live, right side up. And Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 6, describes what this acceptable worship God is looking for. Let us look at the first one. Love, hospitality, and care. In chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, it tells us to love one another. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Remember those who are in prison. Now, in the New Testament times, itinerant teachers, missionaries, and those who are escaping persecution, they rely on a network of Christian homes to provide shelter and protection. And these traveling Christians are strangers. They depend on the hospitality of their brothers and sisters in Christ to keep them safe and to provide the provision for the next step in their journey. And the prisoners in verse 3 are likely referring to those who have been imprisoned for their faith. Now in those days, prisoners of faith, they are not cared for. And it is the family members and the brothers and sisters in Christ that has to go to the prison to bring them food, to bring them medical supply, and to and aid. So the early Christian, the home churches would rally their resources and to provide this material support to the brothers and sisters that are being persecuted and held up in prison. And they identify with these prisoners and are prepared to share their material possessions. Love, hospitality, and to care, they are not new teachings. In the parable of the goats and the sheep, which refers to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus himself said in Matthew 25, he told those that he separate the sheep, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me." The Lord will honor those acts of love and service as though done to him. So what does it mean for us as a church to offer this worship, this acceptable worship of love, hospitality, and care to those who need or are mistreated? You know, around the world, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering for their faith. And there are groups like the Voice of the Martyrs. You can look, check out the website. They take us to persecuted believers and their families. It's a ministry to persecuted believers and their families. And the least we could do is to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. And God may put in our hearts to support the ministry of persecuted Christians. Now, in this COVID-19 situation, we may be consumed by our own needs. But let us remember also the need of our brothers and sisters in the wider body of Christ. It is upon my heart not to forget the mission agencies that we commit to support. You know, as a church, we have been supporting a few mission agencies every year. And we do that through our monthly missions offering, which we collect in the blue bag when you are in church on the fourth Sunday of every month. And this mission offering goes towards the mission agencies. And this year we commit to support, to continue our support to Reverend Eng Kiat and his ministry in Thailand through OMF. We are also supporting the Bible translation project work among the Malay people through Wycliffe International. And another agency that we support is OMF Overseas Missionary Fellowship. And in this COVID situation, let us not forget this wider body of Christ. Perhaps in such situation, they need more of our support. Now, for a church, we do not keep a separate bank account for the blue bag offering or for these mission agencies. We consolidate the collection every quarter and write a check to these mission agencies. But now that we cannot meet and give it through the blue bag, the session has decided that every quarter we will discern from our tithes and offerings collection and then make an offering to these agencies. So as you give to the tithes and offering in the general account, we will also contribute from there to the mission agencies until we can collect again from the blue bag. That is where we gather again. Loving, caring, and remembering our brothers and sisters in Christ is an act of acceptable worship to God. And we can do that in different ways as the Lord puts in our hearts. I believe that this act of worship, this loving and caring for brothers and sisters of Christ, can certainly apply at home too. Our families are also our brothers and sisters in Christ. And perhaps in this COVID situation, they are the ones that need love, attention, and care. You know, we are all confined with our families, and sometimes the lack of personal space, the adjustment, or even the fear can take a toll on our family members. It can cause stress and anxiety and anger. So loving our brothers and sisters in Christ in the family will mean that this is a time we need to be patient. Children, how can you love your parents? You know, if you try to put yourself in your parents' shoe, they are working from home, and at the same time, they are also working for the home. And it can be a stressful time for your parents because they are also meeting deadlines at work, and at the same time, they have to care for you. So how can you support your parents in such a time? And for parents, our children are also going through a stressful period. Being cooped up at home, cannot go and meet their friends. Perhaps this is a time that they need more of our understanding and love. The way we love, care, and support our families can also be an acceptable worship to the Lord. Let us think, how can we support one another in the family, in the wider body of Christ, in this situation? The church is summoned to offer acts of worship. And in verses 1 to 3, we see that this offering, this act of worship, includes loving the believer, providing shelter to the persecuted, and to care for one another. And these are the response of a heart that is grateful. These are the act of worship. Now, if you look into verse 4, it also shows us that the act of worship is also to honor marriages and keep sexual purity. In verse 4, it says this: let marriage be held in honor of all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. The congregation in Hebrews was part of a Greco-Roman culture, and in that culture, men can take a mistress or go to visit a temple prostitute. And to call people to a lifelong marriage and to a single spouse is radically counterculture. Now we face such challenges, similar and of a different sort today. The Christian view of marriage and sexual purity is often challenged by the modern day society. We hear of an alternate sexual orientation and lifestyle that is slowly gaining acceptance as the new normal. As people of God's unshakable kingdom, God's word to us is honor marriage. Let it be held in honor among all. How do we honor marriage? We honor marriage by holding firmly to the marriage the way God intended it to be. It is between one man and one woman. We honor marriage by staying committed to our spouse, working through the difficulties. We honor marriage by entering it only with a committed believer, so that we can raise children in the way of the Lord. It is not just those who are married that are called to honor marriage. This command is for everyone, the married and the unmarried. In verse 4, it also says, let the marriage bed be undefiled. What it basically says here, the marriage bed is a symbol of sex in marriage, sexual purity. And that is to say that the sexual relationship is to be pure, and within the marriage, it must not be defiled. The context of a sexual relationship is within the marriage of one man and one woman. In other words, sexual purity. Purity is also when we avoid watching materials that tempt us. Let marriage be honored by all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. This is an act of worship. Now, if we look into the Bible does affirm sexual pleasure in the marriage between a man and a woman. In fact, we have one whole book in the Bible that talks about this, and that is the book of Songs of Songs. The Apostle Paul also tells both husband and wife that they do not have authority over their own bodies, but their spouse does also. And that is to say that married couples have a responsibility to meet the sexual needs of their spouse. Marriage and sexual relationship, the way that God intended it to be, is an act of worship. And there's a warning to heed in verse 4. It says that God will judge the sexual immoral and the adulteress. And what it tells is that God himself honors marriage and purity, and he will punish those who violate it. Now we have noticed that the act of offering an act of worship, is to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, to care for the needy. And this act of worship also means to honor God in every aspect of life, including our marriage, and to keep to sexual purity. In verse 5, the response of worship, a worship acceptable to the Lord, is also when we don't hold too tightly to our pockets and purse. And this is what verse 5 says. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Now, the instruction here is not keep your life from money. There is a place for money, and there is a place for having possessions, especially when it's a need. But the command here is keep your life free from love of money. The danger is not money itself, but the love of money. Now, the persecution in the book of Hebrews may have drawn some believers to secure their future by accumulating material possessions. And they probably thought that having all this wealth will protect them. But it can be a thin, fine line between having some savings and the greed to have more and more. And perhaps it is the love of money that have kept the Hebrew Christians from helping their fellow brothers and sisters. And likewise, if we love money, it will keep us from helping those in need. And instead of loving and caring for brothers and sisters in Christ, the love of money will make us selfish, self-centered, and uncaring to the needs of others. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he hate one or love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And if the thing that preoccupies our mind and our hearts constantly is how to fatten our bank account, then perhaps this has become an idol. Now, what is the antidote from love of money? The command in verse 5 says, be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. A story was told about a man who went to see a rabbi and complained. Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us staying in one room. What can I do? He asked the rabbi. And the rabbi answered him, take a goat into the room with you. Take a goat into the room with you. The man was stunned. Are you mad? There's already 9 of us. But the rabbi said, do as I say and come back in a week. So a week later, the man came and he looks more haggard. And he tells the rabbi, we cannot stand it. The goat is filthy. There are 9 of us and there's this one more goat. And then the rabbi tells the man, okay, now you go home and let the goat out and come back in another week. And a week later, the man returned, and this time he's happy and exclaiming, life is beautiful. We enjoy it every minute now, because there is no goat. There's only 9 of us. I thought this simple story is just highlight how important it is to be contented. And verse 5 is a command to obey, be content with what you have. And when we learn to be content, then we have space for other people. Why can we be content? There are 2 promises in verse 5 that God promised us. First of all, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God assures us that he will never abandon us in times of needs. We heard earlier that we have received this unshakable kingdom, this kingdom for eternity. Our future is well secured, both now here on earth and in the life to come. Having God is having everything. And here God assures us, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So we need not worry, God will take care of us. And the second promise is in verse 6. It says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now this is actually a quote from Psalms 118 verse 6. The Hebrew Christians were facing a persecution, which is scary, a situation. But the author quotes this psalm to make a point. Hey, if God is your helper, what can man or any situation do to you? Man can take your earthly possession. He can torture, he can kill your family because of the persecution. But God will take care of you. God is your helper. You need not fear these situations. Find your security in God. Martin Luther, in the song, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, wrote this in one sentence. He says, the body they may kill, God's truth abides still. His kingdom is forever. Now we looked at what acceptable worship looks like. We cannot come to God and offer blood of bulls and sacrifices of animals anymore. Jesus has taken care of that. The sacrifice and the offering that God looks for is our life, how we live. And in our passage today, it tells us of the different areas that we can offer as a sacrifice to the Lord. The love and care for one another, how we live out our marriage, and how we treat money and be content with what we have. You know, I'd like to give us some time to reflect and to apply what we have learned. In these areas that we have heard, the question is, what can I offer to God as an acceptable worship in these following areas? Love and caring for others, marriage and sexual purity, money and contentment. What is the acceptable worship that God calls for you to offer to Him in these areas? Would you take some time to consider and make a response to the Lord? Church, we come to the end of our series in the book of Hebrews. And from the beginning of Hebrews, we have heard how this is a congregation that has been lethargic about their faith. And like them, we have also heard about how the author encouraged us not to throw this faith away by showing us the superiority of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Jesus is our great high priest and sacrifice. He has completed the work of salvation. He has secured an incredible hope and an unshakable kingdom for us. And we have received this unshakable kingdom. Let us offer this acceptable worship to the Lord of love, marital purity, and contentment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that perhaps in our own finite mind, we cannot comprehend how much we have in you, Lord. And your word tells us you have accomplished so much for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that in your abounding love, you have given us the direct access to you, Lord. Not only for things of this life, but you have also secured our future, Lord. Our lives are not just for the here and now, but forever, with you in your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that we have this unshakable kingdom that awaits us. And Lord, from now till then, help us to live as citizens of the kingdom of God, here and now, Lord. That as we continue to ponder on your word, move our hearts, Lord, to respond, Lord, in offering to you acceptable worship. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning and a warm welcome to you once again to Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church online service. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we welcome you and we trust that you'll be blessed, that you are blessed as you continue to worship with us. I have a couple of announcements. Now, first of all, we are going to start a new series from next week onwards. And this series will be based on the book of Psalms. And the name of this series is Dealing with Everyday Stress and Anxiety. And in this COVID situation, perhaps different one of us are facing different forms of stress and anxiety as we make adjustments, as we work from home and study from home. And so this will be a series that is going to be especially relevant for us as we study God's Word together. Okay, so that is based on the book of Psalms for the next few weeks. Church, we will resume to celebrate our Holy Communion on the first Sunday of the month. And next Sunday is the first Sunday. So a reminder to prepare the elements before the worship service. Have a fresh piece of bread before Sunday and a packet of Ribena. Cut the white bread in approximately 3 by 3 cm and pour a little bit of a Ribena in the cup. You can see it through the picture on the screen. And then on that Sunday itself, next Sunday, follow the minister's instructions as we remember what our Lord Jesus has done and partake the Holy Communion together as a body of Christ. Okay? I trust that you have also received the prayer list sent through the WhatsApp via your CG leaders. Encourage you to read the prayer list. There's a devotional that you can meditate on in the coming week, and continue to pray for the situation that we are in. And also, this week's prayer list is on our ministry that we are supporting, the Malay people, the Bible translation work, and they also covered our prayers. Okay, that's all the announcement I'd like to highlight. Let us stand as we receive the benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from death the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for a time of silent meditation.